So my homily today will be based on two stories. The first is an incident perhaps many of us have known in recent days, that the Morningside neighborhood had recently announced that they're going to cancel their Christmas lights display this year. And there have been a lot of reactions on the internet and around town because of that. Many people are disappointed and sad, including me. And many are understanding because of the reasoning behind it. Because many of the residents there are elderly, and they have all these years have put out their own money in order to put up all those Christmas lights. And it takes a lot of labor and maintenance and a lot of work for people for free. And this year have been hard on them. So therefore, the whole neighborhood have decided to cancel it this year. And some were very outrageous and angry because how dare you take away the tradition that my families and I have been used to. And this shows how self-entitled we can be at times. Just because things were provided for us, things were normal, doesn't mean that things were free. It was paid for by someone else, from someone else's goodness. And instead of being compassionate and to say, we understand you, he said, how dare you take that away from me? And at times we feel like that. When things don't work, when things don't go our way, when things aren't up to par with us, we tell God the same thing. How dare you do this for me? How dare you take that away from me? How dare you allow 2020 to happen? And over again, I see this on social media and the internet. And the typical atheistic response would be, where is your powerful and all-loving God if he allowed this tragedy to happen? How dare he? If we treat God, as I have said to you last week, as simply someone who's there to serve us, our standard, our convenience, our desire, what we want. When things aren't so used to what we want, we tend to blame other people, blame God, instead of seeing this as an opportunity of conversion. God, perhaps, allowed all these things to happen to remind us that we cannot go on the same. Something has to change. And that change had to begin with us. Advent is the season of conversion, a season to not only prepare for Christmas, but for the coming of Christ. If Christ is coming to us tonight in our sleep, or tomorrow, or at an unexpected time, are we ready? Or do we say, hey man, go back, I'm not ready, because we're so busy with everything else. Perhaps when things are out of the ordinary, things are being shaken, so that we lose all the things that are not important in order to hold on to what's really give life, to who give us life. Hence, lead us toward the second virtue of the second week of Advent, faith. Who is the source of our faith? The government? A politician, our expectation or demands, our ego, our will, our control, or is our faith found in God? And is our faith easily shaken, or is our faith firmly grounded in Him? And are we seeking conversion and change of heart, or we are demanding, griping, resentful, bitter, angry, because we lose what we're so used to? Perhaps all these things happen so that we're being reminded that we need to grab on to Christ and to be reminded that our faith is grounded in Him. Praying is not enough. To stand by Him and to persevere is important. Everyone can begin something, but not everyone had the tenacity and the perseverance to end it well. And we're called to end this journey well. So many Christians, when this pandemic begins, the dispensation were given for the elderly and most vulnerable. Because we want to protect those who are vulnerable and elderly. But yet, many people have taken advantage of that dispensation, said Mass is then optional. My faith is optional. I pray, that's good enough. Mass, if it's not an obligation, I'm not going to go. Then perhaps our faith was only dependent on things that are obligatory, but we never made our relationship personal. Mass is not only an obligation, it's a personal commitment. It's a personal giving up ourselves, our sacrifices. So that the obligation, if we're well, if we're not sick, then it should motivate us toward coming to Mass to offer this holy sacrifice for the salvation of the world and who cannot be here because of their health, because they aren't well. What ironically happened is that the people that the bishops, in their good intentions, meant to dispense, are here, the older in age. We have a lot to do. We're called to conversion. Faith is not a convenience, it's not an option. Faith is everything. And that's why in the second reading from the second letter of St. Peter today, he said, well, sometimes we're impatient with God's timing because 1,000 years is like a moment for God, and likewise, vice versa. And we lose heart, we lose patience because we don't know when. What's going to happen next? But what did St. Peter said? In the midst of waiting, persevere, be holy, be faithful to the call you have received. My brothers and sisters, that faith, as it gets more uncertain with what's going on in the future, that faith in Christ Jesus had to deepen. Which leads us toward the first reading today, where we're being called to prepare the way of the Lord. To take down the mountains of our ego and our pride, and to fill the hills or the moles of our despair and doubts. To straighten the way of the Lord and to remove any obstacles that we have created so that Jesus have the straight path into our heart. That's what Advent is about. To take down our ego, to fill our despair, to make straight the way to our heart, so that Jesus does not have to take extra time to come to us. And I'll end with this story of my own conversion story as a priest. As you know, Vietnamese is my first language, and then I speak English. And when I was in the seminary, I was told that I have to learn Spanish. And I told myself, I don't want to learn a third language. It's too not good enough. So when we were forced to go to Spanish classes, I kind of checked out. I didn't care. I gone through the motion until when I was assigned to Immaculate Conception Parish in Denton. It had a predominantly Hispanic population. And I told myself, it's going to be an easy cake, because I already learn how to say the Mass in Spanish, you know. And I can ask a deacon to preach for me in Spanish. And even in the confessional, I have spent about 3 hours to come up with every possible response to any sin that has been said in Spanish. You know, I type it down. And then my first Saturday in the confessional, everybody knew, new priest, fresh meat, fresh kill. Man, the line was long. And then they came in and they cry and then everything. And then I go like, oh, crap. My Spanish, it's not good. I don't know how to respond. And I told myself, dang it, I need to change. These are my people now. I need to learn how to communicate with them, or else I cannot be a shepherd for them. So I begin to learn Spanish, push myself to learn Spanish. I watch Dora the Explorer in Spanish. ¿Dónde estado? And things like that. And then all the telenovela. I sped up on my Spanish. And there was a deacon that I attended his funeral yesterday in Denton, Deacon Popo. And he encouraged me to learn Spanish. And then he said, Father, for every Spanish weekend mass per weekend that you're going to do, I promise you, I'm going to get your favorite tacos. Oh, yeah, I love to eat. So he said, what kind of taco you like? I said, barbacoa or lengua, which is cow tongue, right? I know Americans think it nasty, but it's a great cut of meat. So every Sunday when I do my Spanish mass, he would always go and get me tacos. And he would provide those for me to eat in between mass. And then so he would ask me, how did this taste? I said, it's good. And so he would go to another place to find another place for me until he found my favorite place. He said, Father, you eat the lengua, you eat the cow tongue, so that your tongue helps speak Spanish better. It helps. Because food is always a good incentive, isn't it? So I've learned my best. And even now until today, the people after I have left Denton are close to me and keep in touch with me the most are the Spanish-speaking people. Because they told me on my farewell day, Father, you have your limitation in Spanish, but your heart is Spanish. We understand you and you try your best. Us too, we don't have all the skills to fix every world's problem. But if our heart is in the right position, and if we try, if we love, if we change our ways to recognize that change begins with us, then the world would be a better place. Because our faith motivates us. It changes us. It prepared the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. So for this Advent, I pray, especially for the second week of Advent, May we live out the virtue of faith, so that even in our weaknesses, we can lead all to Christ.